Adihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navati Tamastuma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So now Arjuna, having returned back from the heavenly planets and all that, now then everyone will now, you know, then discuss what has happened since, you know, they've been gone. Because Arjuna would have gone to the heavenly planets, so technically that's 5 days. But for the Pandavas, that'll be 5 years. You know, because their 6 months is their day, 6 months is their night. So that 24 hours is one of our years. Arjuna sat amid the brothers while they asked him to tell them all about his adventures. He narrated everything he had experienced, beginning from his first meeting with Indra in the form of a Brahmin up to his departure from heaven. Right? Because first when he's going up, he met him as a Brahmin, and he said, sit here, and all this and that. Arjuna then told him that after he had received his training from Indra, he had to offer him dakshina. Indra had said to Arjuna, there is nothing in the three worlds which you cannot now achieve. You are master of all the divine weapons and have no equal in warfare. Right? It means, when he's saying no equal in warfare, he means, you know, other than Lord Vishnu, like that. And depending upon how it works out, Shiva maybe. I desire that you destroy my enemies, right? Because he's learned from Indra. He's taught him all the mantras, given, because that's why he didn't want to give him at the time, because then there were things to do, right? And they had that time to spend. They had 12 years in the forest. And so now with this, then, 5 years is gone. And then he could get all his weapons, he's prepared for. Yudhishthira would go on pilgrimage and they would accrue so much nice piety and everything like that. And then, set a very nice example for what people should do is, you know, living in the forest when they're doing that kind of lifestyle. And then he could also do the work for the gods to get rid of the enemies of the gods, because only he can handle all these weapons, and he has that prowess. So we saw before, without all these weapons, how he could hold back the host of gods, you know, in the burning of the Kandava forest, let alone now with all these. So now he can do. And so, yes. I desire that you destroy my enemies, the Nivata Kavachas, a race of fierce Danavas who dwell in the womb of the ocean in great forts. So they live under the water, so no one can get to them. Killing these demons, you will fully gratify me. Right? So he's done this, then there's some dakshin. So it's very befitting that them as kshatriyas, then the dakshin would be, you know, some aspect to do with battle and all that. He's given them all these weapons, now he uses them all those. And that way, he's confident that he can use them. And he then establishes that rapport, that having received all these, he uses them in service. O hero, okay, you will fully gratify me, O hero, and repay your debt to me, right, for teaching. Indra then allowed Arjuna to use his chariot. It gave him a suit of impenetrable armor, right? So then you'll have that celestial armor, because that he didn't have up to now. He has the celestial bow, he has the prowess knowing how to use it, so now it's just he's gotten the weapons and knows how the weapons work. Right, the mantras how to release them, how to draw them back, and all these things. So he has to be taught all these things. And then, you know, this weapon's this, and that. But actually, how to fire and do all that, he's learned from Dronacharya. So now he has the Gandiva bow, he has this inexhaustible quivers, and now he has impenetrable armor. He had also placed upon his head the coronet, saying, "Be victorious." Blessed by the celestials, Arjuna then set out on Indra's chariot. As he was leaving, the gods presented him with a conch shell called the Devadatta. And we see at the Battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna blew the Devadatta, whose sound could disperse his foes. Right? These conch shells were so, they had the ability that if someone who had the prowess to blow them, like, you know, Arjuna or Bhima or Krishna, then the sound they could make would be so fierce that it would completely Everyone would become afraid, and the Sahir would just run away. Matali drove the chariot, and they soon approached the ocean. Arjuna described the ocean to his brothers. That dreadful and inexhaustible lord of the waters was covered by swelling waves that dashed against each other, appearing like moving hills. I saw ships full of gems sailing the sea, as well as whales, timangilas, serpents, and other fierce aquatics. Through the waters I could see submerged shells and heaps of precious stones. They appeared like stars on a night covered with light clouds. Arjuna described how Matali had steered the mystical chariot, which could travel anywhere in the three worlds, through the ocean towards the Danava city. So now they're going underwater through there. He could drive it. So he could drive it on the land, in the sky, in the water. There's no place that it couldn't go. As it entered the nether regions and approached the city, it made the whole region resound with a fearful clatter of its wheels. Like Kshatriya wheels, they weren't like smooth silk, like ball bearings, almost like a Rolls Royce. They liked them to clatter because the clatter added to that kind of the fearsome flavor, you know, of the battle. And so the clattering, you could tell, you know, whose chariot it was by how it clattered, or, you know, the force of it. And, you know, we see even on the weapons, like the clubs, when they'd throw them, they would roar in different things. You know, they would all add to the flavor of the battle. Hearing the thunderous sound, the Danavas considered that Indra must be approaching to do battle with them. They closed the city gates and manned the ramparts. I saw thousands of demons standing with bows, arrows, javelins, axes, maces, and clubs, their hearts filled with fear and their limbs trembling. Taking out the Devadatta, I let out many mighty blasts that made all creatures hide in fear. The Nivedakavachas had then poured out of their city by the tens of thousands. They were clad in shining mail, and they clutched maces, spears, clubs, sabers, hatchets, rockets, guns, and swords, ornamented with gold and jewels. So they had all these different things, even the guns and all the things like that, rockets, missiles, all these different things they had. But the point was is that then you could use them, but the bow and arrow was just so much better, or the javelins or the darts were so much better for sending these celestial mantras and all that. And so they could be used. You could use the gun also if you wanted, but, you know, these things are very nice because they were just much, they added so much to the nice, you know, prowess that's there. So we can see is that the arrows that could shot, they can shoot down an arrow. So therefore, even the guns and all that, whatever the missiles they shoot, they shoot them down. We saw Arjuna was doing that with the demons that were in the Kandava forest. So it's not that they don't have that technology before. It's just not a preferred technology. Demons liked it, but the demigods would not use it. Matali maneuvered the chariot skillfully and baffled the demons' advance, right? Because he knew how to go and how to go through. That they're making something, but you come up like this, and then they'll go. He can even fight that way. How he comes through, he can kill them with a chariot, like that. So, but you know, they don't. They leave that to their business is driving, right? But sometimes, if the kshatriya gets killed, sometimes in that they may themselves and attack the army to so that they'll leave. Indeed, he moved the chariot so swiftly that I could perceive nothing at all. My enemies sounded their strange musical instruments, creating a discordant blare that filled the battlefield and stupefied the minds of all beings. So, what they played is this one. It was power. You know, it'll have a nice note, it'll be powerful, it'll roar. Well, they'll use all these strange instruments to give discordant kind of things, and that throws you off. Even sometimes now they use this as a defense, sound, you know, as part of the thing, and it's all discordant things like that. So you see they're just following the demon's method of warfare like that. As the Danavas rushed at me, releasing hundreds of thousands of arrows, I saw in the sky the rishis who had come to witness the fight. Right, because everybody heard about this, so they're all going to sit and watch. They eulogized me with select Vedic prayers and thus inspired me. I was surrounded and enveloped by sheets of fierce-looking shafts, but I countered the demons' arrows and the downpour of spears, maces, and clones. The chariot moved with the speed of the wind. Freed from the assault, I counterattacked the Danavas, right? Because they came out, they made the attack, but then he counterattacked that, and then now he's going to attack them. I drove them back, piercing each demon with a number of deadly shafts. So he sends his tens of thousands, so each one of them gets hit, not with just one. It's not that he sends out a bunch and hits one here and there. It says each one gets hit with a few. At the same time, Matali urged my 10,000 steeds towards the enemy and trampled vast numbers of them. He drove the chariot with such dexterity that it seemed as if only one horse was drawing it, right? So the horses are so well trained, you know, they're also celestial horses, that they all move perfectly together, you know, however they're supposed to go. So if they're turning, you know, everybody will turn and follow and like that. There won't be anything. No horse will be out of step. No one will be looking in the wrong direction. They're all perfectly focused. And he knows how to drive them. It's because his prowess at driving that they're doing them. It's not that, oh, anybody could drive. No, he can drive and do that. Firing my arrows with unerring accuracy, I cut off the outstretched arms of the demons, which fell to the ground, still clutching their weapons. Their helmeted heads rolled on the earth like so many ripe fruits shaken from trees. The Donovas came at me in wave after wave. I charged my arrows with the Brahma mantras and cut them down as they rushed upon me. But so great was their number that I became sorely oppressed on all sides. I then took up Indra's weapon, the mighty thunderbolt, and hurled it against the demons. It threw them away from the chariot and smashed all their weapons to pieces. I quickly followed this move by shooting 10 arrows at each of my assailants. Seeing shafts leaving my bow like rows of black bees, Matali praised me, right? That means, when it says rows of black bees, it means when bees fly, they fly one right after the another. They can fly in formation right behind each other. It's not like one bee comes and then another bee comes. They can go in a whole bunch of them, right? One right behind the other. You know, if there's something there attacking the hive, they can come out like that. And that's how his arrows are. They're one right after the other. You can actually see the one shaft after another going. You know, it means if you have that, you're able to see the arrow going. You could see one after another. So Matali praised him for that. The arrow is inspired by mantras, right? So it's not that it's just arrows, there's mantras there. So then one arrow can become so many arrows, or can take, you know, takes on different elements or powers like that. So you can shoot one arrow and can turn into 50,000 like that. But you have to have that prowess and piety and energy to be able to use it. It's not just anybody can do it. It's not that the guy said, what is this doing? And then, you know, 50,000 arrows. No. So the arrows, inspired by mantras, drove back the enemy and mangled the soldiers. Blood was flowing like rivulets during the rainy season. Right? So it's so much being killed, it's like that. The infuriated demons then began to fight by using illusions. Right? So they first came a regular fight, now they'll use illusions. Instantly the Donovas vanished and rocks showered from the sky. Aiming upwards and whirling quickly about, I checked the rocks with crescent-headed arrows, smashing them to pieces. Then the demons sent down torrents of rain. Accompanied by a fierce wind, the whole area was flooded and no difference could be perceived between earth and sky. Right? So even though they're in the water, then within the water they can fight like they're on land. And so then all these different weapons and all these effects can all be done. You know, it's just because by their mystic, you know, prowess, then all these things can be accomplished. There seemed to be an endless sheet of water covering everything, struggling to keep my mind controlled, because all this is illusion, so you have to keep focused and know it's not real. Right? You have to deal with it. So either you deal with what is coming at you like you first did, or you just get to the source of that. But it takes great power, because as much power as is being applied, you have to have that much power to counteract it. So especially when you're dealing with all these kind of, you know, tantra and all these weirdo things. What is the amount of the power and the mantras and all that? That's what you have to do to counter it. You know, so if something, let's say, is at the power of 100, you have to counter it with one of 100. You can't just, you know, there was that power of 100 and you just use 10 or 1. You know, so he has to have that potency. So them all together are doing this, so he as one person has to have that same focus to be able to counter it. So that's why, you know, only some people like Arjuna can do this thing. Struggling to keep control of my mind controlled, I invoked a flaming Vishoshana weapon, which Indra had also given me. Immediately dried up the waters, and the air was filled with a massive cloud of steam. Right? You know, just like that, it's all dried up, and then all that goes into the air is steam. I could hear the demons' terrible shouts. Although they remained invisible, they sent tongues of fire and a screaming hurricane at me. I countered the fire with celestial water weapon and stopped the wind with a mountain weapon, right? So before they had sent the water, so he used fire. And now they're using fire, so he uses water. You know, or wind, you use a mountain. Because the wind's blowing, you use something to stop the wind. Like, you know, you stand behind a wall, the wind can't get you. So you send a big mountain, it'll stop the wind. Then they caused a fearful darkness so that I could see neither Matali nor my own hands wielding the bow. Right? So generally they get into that. That's one of their, you know, more final weapons. It's just the darkness. They just put everything in darkness so that nothing can be seen. A shower of iron clubs fell from above, and the Dainavas let out horrible screams on all sides. The steeds drew back, and Matali dropped his whip and cried out, "Where are you, Arjuna? What has happened?" Both of us were struck with terror. Matali said, "O sinless Arjuna, although I have accompanied Indra in many encounters with the demons, I have never been confounded in this way and lost control of the horses." Because he is the best there is. You know, the chariot drivers. Of course, Krishna will be better. But he's the best as far as, you know, the those in the universe. But he's never come across this, that there's such a thing that's why Indra, you know, is saying that he wants them defeated. But now that he has all the weapons, he can do that. It seems that the Creator himself, who now desires the destruction of the universe, has ordained this battle. Surely no other outcome is possible from such a terrible fight. I stood silent for some moments to gain control over my mind. Then I replied, "Be at ease, charioteer. See how the prowess of my arms and weapons. See now the prowess. I shall counter these illusions with the Gandiva bow." I then invoked astras capable of stupefying the enemy, and the Dhanava's illusions were dispelled, right? Because then they have to focus also to maintain them. So if they get stupefied, then the illusion disappears. They again appeared before me. Without delay, they produced more illusions that stunned my mind and senses. At one moment, the earth seemed covered by darkness. Then it seemed to be submerged in water. Then it disappeared completely, so my chariot appears it was suspended in space. Right? So they just have all these bewildering things. Rather than fight with their regular prowess, they have to do these things. So they're generally, you know, it's just by, you know, under cover of darkness and this and that. So it's just, you see, it's as we move away from the godly kind of thing, where it's out there, you're fighting, I'm father, we fight with equal weapons and do all that, and that kind of chivalry, then it moves into whatever you can do to bewilder the other person and defeat them. And so then that you see even in contemporary warfare, that these tactics are used more, because that's the mentality of who you're dealing with. You're not dealing with, if you go out there and says, okay, we'll fight. You know, before, the two kings could go and they'd fight. Whoever won, then the battle's over. But nowadays, you go out, then, you know, you go out there, they might kill him and this. You know, you can't trust anybody. I released the Shabdaveda weapon, and it dispelled that illusion. Whereupon, Matali again steered the chariot towards the enemy, right? Because as soon as it's there, Matali is immediately on it. The demons flew towards me in a rage. I cut them down remorselessly with great volleys of razor-faced arrows. Then they vanished again, continuing to fight invisibly. By using celestial weapons capable of seeking them out, I continued to slay them. So the weapons with mantras, you can say, you know, what it should do or who it should attack or like this and that, and it'll just go there. So it won't end up somewhere else. So you see, in these kind of things, you don't have any collateral damage like that. It only attacks warriors and all that. And that, yeah. So then, the Nivadakavachas then gave up their illusions and retreated into their city. At once, everything became visible. Right. So then, you know, yeah, that's natural to happen. So now, what Arjuna will see, what will happen, we'll discuss next time. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai.